to extend a greeting and a welcome here this morning to each one here this morning. It's a blessing to be together this morning again. Special welcome to our visitors. Good to see some of the Bible school students back. Welcome here this morning. You can open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to continue with the series of messages I've been preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And as I was going through this again this past week, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, I again had to think about the fact that if you look at Galatians 5, verse 22, it says the fruit. It's not plural. It's singular. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Versus when you look about the works of the flesh. So it's a package. I think one of these is missing. There's something missing. Just a brief review of the past ones. We talked about love, the agape love. First of all, it's a supreme devotion to God. It's a God-given passion to honor the Creator, to seek the highest welfare for every human being. Love is not simply just a warm feeling. It's instead an attitude which reveals itself in action. Real love seeks the best of another person, regardless of how the other person treats us. We talked about joy, how joy stands in contrast to happiness. Joy doesn't depend on circumstances or outward happenings, but rather it has its springs deep down inside. It's that quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on the Lord, on Jesus. We talked about peace and how peace has several different aspects or different meanings. We have tranquility. Jesus calms the seas by saying, "Peace be still." We have harmony, like a song in which all chords blend together in agreement. And we have the absence of strife, like two people walking hand in hand along a country road. Peace is a very sensitive subject. Probably one of the biggest sources of stresses in life has to do with our relationship with other people, getting along with other people. That includes family members. It's in the home. It's in the church. It's teachers in the classroom. It's people where we work. And yes, it's even our brothers and sisters in the church. Then we talked about love, long-suffering, forbearance and patience, to put up with others, to endure, the quiet willingness to accept irritating or painful situations. Talked about gentleness and goodness. Gentleness is a quality of being kind and careful. Goodness is a quality of, or characteristics of being kind, tender, mild-mannered, compassionate, and considerate. To be gentle means to show love and care for others in the way you act or speak. To have gentleness is to have a gentle spirit or nature about you. And then goodness is the generosity which causes one to do helpful things for others. It includes helping with the chores when an accident occurs and making a meal when someone is sick. And we are to follow the example of the Lord Jesus, who continually went about doing good. That brings us to our subject this morning, of faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." What is faith? How do you explain faith? You know, we talk about faith a lot. We hear about faith. We use the word faith a lot. But what really is faith, or how do you explain it? Well, I'll take you to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I have a lot of scripture verses this morning I'll be reading. You don't have to turn to them all. I'm not going to be turning to them all. I have most of them jotted down here. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith, or faithfulness, speaks of our attitude toward duty. We are to keep our word. We're to carry out our responsibilities. We're to fulfill our obligations. That's faith. Faith is one of the basic ingredients in getting right with God. It's the only way we can come to the Christian life. We come into the Christian life We receive the forgiveness of sins through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." We're saved through faith. Galatians 3, verse 26 tells us that we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 5, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, just being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Now, the fruit, one of the fruit of peace is one of the aspects of Galatians 5. But we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we see the central thought in these verses is the fact that God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and on Calvary, He paid the price for our redemption. We had that in our Sunday school lesson today, how Jesus paid the price for our redemption, and faith is the channel by which that redemption becomes effective. And because of that, we abandon all hope for saving ourselves our own works and our abilities. But instead, we put complete trust in Jesus Christ for our eternal safety. That's an element of faith. You know, we never saw God in person. We didn't see Jesus hanging on the cross. We didn't hear Jesus teaching personally. But we accept it and we believe it. We accept it and believe it by faith. But faith involves much more. The whole Christian life is dependent upon faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Galatians 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." 4 points about faith I'd like to look at this morning. First one is the importance of faith. Second one, the meaning of faith. The third one, the object of faith. And the fourth one, the achievement of faith. The importance of faith. I looked at a word, I did a Bible search on the word faith, and it's very, very prominent in our Bible. There's 234 verses that speak about faith. And then along with that, the original Greek text the words faith, believing, and trusting are all from the same root word. So we have faith, we have believing, and we have trusting. And if you look at all those words together into the Bible, they are spoken numerous times. I didn't do a search on how many times those three words come together, or three words are spoken of in the Bible. But it's a very prominent word. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to believe God, to please God." So that is the importance of faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. It's an absolute essential for salvation. Jesus says, as recorded there in Mark 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not," or could we say has no faith, "shall be damned." It is impossible to get right with God without faith. It's also true, without faith, the Christian cannot please God in his daily life. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." We walk by faith. We receive him by faith, and now we are to walk daily in the same manner by faith. Now it is true that there's various degrees of faith. Some have no faith. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Excuse me. Verse 2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. All men have not faith. So there's various degrees of faith. Some people have no faith. Some have little faith. We see that in Luke chapter 12, verse 28. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So there are some folks that have little faith. We have the account there in Matthew chapter 14, where the disciples were out on the sea in a boat, and a storm came up, and Jesus decided to walk out there to them, and he was walking out across the water. They were afraid. Suddenly, Peter saw who it was. And he cried out to Jesus and said, these are just my own words. He cried out to Jesus and said, if it's you, Lord, tell me to walk to you, come to you. What did the Lord do? The Lord told him, come. What happened? Peter jumped out of that boat and he began walking on the water. And all of a sudden, he's seeing the waves and he became aware of all the waves around him and he began to sink. What was Jesus' response? O ye of little faith, how's your faith this morning? Is it great? Is it little? Or do you have faith? Then there's others who have great faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, we have the account there of the centurion, where his daughter was sick, his child was sick. And he sent some of his servants to Jesus, or he went himself to Jesus, and he asked Jesus to heal his daughter. He didn't feel worthy of allowing Jesus to come to his house, and he just told Jesus, speak the word. You can do this. Just speak the word. Jesus said, so great a faith haven't I found. There are still others that are rich in faith. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? One can be poor in material things, but still be rich in faith and have great faith. But to be in that first category, having no faith, is to be outside of the scope of God's grace. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The second point, the meaning of faith. So we have the first point, the importance of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The second part, the meaning of faith. Faith is a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to see a tree if you're walking into the woods. It doesn't take faith to see it or believe it. But faith is especially related to things which we cannot see. It's believing the unexplainable and that which we cannot see. Because when someone in whom we have confidence says it so, faith is confidence, faith is reliance, faith is trust, faith is a firm conviction that what is declared by another is true, even though we don't see it. And you know, the Bible faith, the real Bible faith, rests upon the authority of God's word. True faith is a matter of taking for real the things which have been revealed to us in God's word. In other words, the Christian's faith rests upon the reliability of the scripture, and the Lord has given us a great deal of evidence for the genuineness of the Bible accounts and truth. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Not just anybody's voice, not just anybody's words, but God's word. Our faith is not a careless, unfounded thing. You know, it's not like that little boy who tried to explain or describe faith. This is the way he explained it. He says, faith is believing what you know ain't so. That's not true. Faith is believing what you do not see. It's believing what the Bible says. It's a conviction of the reality of things we cannot see. But that conviction is real because our resource, the Word of God, is trustworthy. Little story about two little girls. They were counting their pennies one day, and one said, "I have 5 pennies." The other one said, "I have 10. But both of them were there counting their pennies, and both of them had 5. But the one said, "I have 10. "No," said the first girl, "you have 5 pennies, the same as I." But the second girl replied quickly, "My dad said that when he comes home tonight, he will give me 5 pennies, and so I have 10 cents. That little girl had complete faith in her father's word. His promise could be trusted, and so she counted the 5 pennies already, knowing her father as she did, it was completely safe for her to speak of those pennies as her possession. The father did not need to show the child that he had 5 cents in order that she might believe that she would get them. So the point was, that little child had complete faith in her father. She was convinced. She believed that by the end of the day, she would have 10 pennies. And so, the Christian has confidence in the Word of God, and as we can speak of God's promises as actual realities. So what is faith? It's believing the seemingly impossible, the unexplainable, and that which we cannot see, because someone in whom we have confidence says it is so. That's the meaning of faith. The third point, the object of faith. It's possible. It is possible to put confidence in wrong objects, the wrong place, or the wrong person. In other words, not all faith pleases God. In our day, as I said before, the word faith is used a lot. And it's often used in a rather vague and indefinite way. You know, you hear folks say, "We must have more faith." But what faith? But faith in what? What do we need to have more faith in? Faith is a good thing only when it engages truth. When faith rests upon falsehood, it usually leads to tragedy. The story that Charles Spurgeon often told about two men in a boat in the Niagara River above the falls, and the boat capsized. Both men were struggling in the water of the river. Friends on shore threw a rope to these two men. One man grabbed the rope and was pulled to safety. The other man desperately hung on to the overturned boat and eventually was carried to his doom down over the falls. Both men trusted. But for one, the trust was misplaced confidence. True faith must be in the right person, Jesus Christ, and must be placed in that which can be trusted, the Word of God. So the object of true faith is Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God that reveals the truth about Him. The fourth point, the achievements of faith. You know, walking by faith accomplishes a number of good things. One thing, it provides boldness in witness. We read in that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, "So we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, 'I believe, and therefore have I spoken,' we also believe, and therefore speak." So it helps us in witnessing, our boldness. It provides boldness in witness. Faith accomplishes good things. You know, if we believe that God is real, we believe that heaven is real, and we believe that hell is real, and that Jesus Christ is the only escape from the wrath of God, it will bring boldness and confidence to us to share the message to others. Living by faith tends to provide boldness in witness. Walking by faith also results in good works. One who has a genuine faith will prove the reality of that faith by practice of good deeds. James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he hath faith and has not works? Can faith save him?" What's saying there, if we have faith and don't live it out, it's nothing. One who lives by faith will demonstrate the sincerity of that faith by doing what he says. Walking by faith produces victory over the world. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." True faith helps us to overcome the world. A man who lives in faith will have great success in overcoming the world. A man who lives by faith doesn't make the world's opinions his standards of right or wrong. He doesn't mind going against the stream of the world in customs and fads. He separates from the vain customs and wicked morals of this world system. By faith, he knows that this world is going to pass away and there's a judgment day coming. And he knows that those who walk after the flesh are headed for judgment, and that God has better things prepared for those who serve him. Another achievement of faith is that living by faith makes real a glorious future. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's a firm conviction that even those things which the natural eye has never seen are indeed very real." The eye of faith looks forward to someday meeting with Jesus, to eternal fellowship with God, to walking the streets of transparent gold. And the Bible talks about these things. These are some of the things hoped for. These things are real to a person of true faith. Walking by faith sets us free from anxious care. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" Then he goes on to say there, don't worry about having enough food and clothing. Your heavenly Father knows perfectly well what you need, and he'll give them to you if you seek his kingdom. So faith produces freedom from anxious care. You know, you can experience hard things. You can experience calamities in life. But a man who faith shows composure and tranquility even when hard times come. You know, we believe and we trust in a living God. We believe that the very hairs of our heads are numbered. We're confident that God reigns and that not a sparrow falls to the ground without his knowledge. So why should we be fretful and filled with worry and distrust and anxiety? Doesn't the Lord have the whole world in his hands? Doesn't he know even the small details of our lives? There's two very interesting verses in the Bible related to this matter of anxiety and anxious. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" And Luke chapter 12, verse 6 says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings?" And if you study that account, the sparrow was sold as an article, as food in the Palestinian markets. And that little bird was so cheap that two of them were sold for a penny. This means that four of them should have been sold for two pennies. But the Bible says that five were sold for two pennies. The sparrow was so insignificant that when a buyer came along with two pennies, the vendor threw in an extra spare. So a person could buy five sparrows for two pennies. Yet Jesus says in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, I'm sorry, in Luke chapter 12, verse 6, Not one of them is forgotten before the face of God. Not one of them. Just as that tiny sparrow is ever before the face of God, so the most trivial details of our lives are always under his tender care. Always. Genuine faith sets us free from undue anxious care. There's a saving faith, the act of receiving God's forgiveness for sins. There's also a sustaining faith, the act of appropriating God's resources for daily living. Saving faith is an active, personal trust in Jesus Christ. It's a matter of saying yes to Jesus Christ as he offers us his eternal life. Sustaining faith is a bit different. Sustaining faith is a daily trust in the very strength of the Christian life. Day by day, a sincere disciple of Jesus lives by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, you know, there's something a little absurd about believing only what I can see. 9 out of every 10 of the most wonderful things in life are things you cannot see. 9 out of every 10 of the most wonderful things in life are things that you can't see. You know, we have the power of electricity, and you see the results of that power. You see the love of a child. You see how a child shows its love to its father or its mother, its parents. You smell the fragrance of a rose. Yet the God who cares for the visible world also has control of the invisible world, and to walk by faith is to have confidence in God's faithfulness even in the realm of the invisible. Jesus said there to Thomas, "You have seen and believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed," found in John chapter 20, verse 29. You think about sight. Now, we think sight, it would be very insecure if we wouldn't have sight. But you know, the fact of the matter is, the principle of sight is really very insecure and it's changeable. It's all right about walking by sight, it's okay to walk by sight in the light. But what are you going to do when darkness comes? What will you do when darkness comes? Walking by sight is not very practical on a totally dark night. It is very well to talk about living in the present while you are here, but when you're sick with cancer or you're lying on a deathbed, what about living for the present and walking by sight then? There's not a lot of hope in walking by sight at that time. By way of contrast, the principle of faith has many advantages. It does best in the dark. He who walks by faith can walk in the sunlight like all the rest of us can, but he can also walk in dark. Day after day, he trusts God in all circumstances, knowing that even what appears difficult and hard to understand and mysterious to us can never be outside of God's purpose for us. John J. Patton, the missionary of an island, was translating the Gospel of John. But he couldn't find a native word for believe. He was trying to translate the Bible, and in the native language that he was translating this into, he couldn't find a word to translate believe. And I'm trying to imagine the Gospel of John without the word believe in it. Then one day, a native worker came to Mr. Patton's office and sat on one chair with his feet up on another. And he noticed he was sitting on one chair and he propped his feet up on another chair. He used a native word which meant, "I am resting my whole weight on these two chairs." And Mr. Patton said to himself, "I have my word." He translated the Gospel of John, and every time he needed the word believe, he used a word which meant, "I am resting my whole weight upon him." You think about that. Think about that for a moment. Think about the example of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth or whosoever rests his whole weight upon him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." That's essentially what it means to live by faith. It means to rest one's whole weight upon the Word of God and upon the Christ whom He exalts. There's a song entitled Living by Faith. These are just a few words. It says, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know rules over everything, and all my worry is vain. The chorus says, living by faith. Yes, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe from all harm in His sheltering arm, I am living by faith and feel no alarm. May God help us. May the Lord help us to come to Christ by faith and to live day by day with simple trust in His faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Brother Dan mentioned a little bit this morning about folks living in fear. But we have faith, and faith is the opposite of fear. Faith conquers fear. And never forget, God expects and honors courage. Faith has power. It changes our thinking. It's contagious. Faith requires clear thinking. It requires unselfish love. And it requires courageous action. And it requires a great humility. That is faith. Shall we kneel for prayer?